Good afternoon. This is Tanya Schultz with Social Chats No Aging. I'm live streaming with my co-hosts and BFFs, Sandra Lopez. Hello, Sandra.
Hello.
We are actually on location live, and we are at Bauman Medical Group, and we're having a quick chat with Dr. Alan Bauman, who we have known before from our previous job life. And we're just thrilled that you're taking this afternoon for an hour chatting with us. And guess what? We are really live. It hasn't kicked us off.
All right. Fantastic. Well, thanks for coming over, girls. This is great.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be on your show.
We're like your groupie now. Because, you know, when you, the most... Before we start, we're so excited because now you showed us your Flickr page, which I'm triply impressed with. And anyone out here listening, actually, Dr. Bauman has been one of the first doctors that I've always admired in the sense that you embrace social media instantly. Multimedia was your thing. And we've been friends on Facebook, my God, since 2006, 2007.
Yes, that's right.
So I always followed you. But I did not know that you had this much content. This is like... incredible.
We have quite a bit of content, you know.
Yeah.
I've always generated a lot of photos and videos and so forth, and even news stories and such over the years. Obviously, the internet was a great place to put all that stuff and get the word out to our potential hair loss patients who could be helped by this technology.
So before we start, can you tell us a little history about yourself and how long have you been in practice?
Sure. Well, Bauman Medical Group was established in 1997.
Wow.
So after I did my internship and residency in general surgery, I got interested in hair transplant, a little bit by accident.
Okay.
My first love was plastic surgery, and I was mentored by a plastic surgeon through college and through medical school. But then I found out about hair transplants. And actually, I found out through a patient who had had a hair transplant, and I was unable to tell that he had work done. So in the discussion, he was telling me about this new technology, and this, of course, was back in the 90s, single follicle implants, natural hairlines, and so forth. And, of course, in layman's terms, he was describing to me the way hair could be restored without you noticing. And so I got excited about that. I had the skills from microsurgery, and I felt like I had a little bit of the artistic bend.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to look into hair transplant. Eventually, I went through a fellowship program and got trained in microsurgical hair transplantation and made that my main focus, and that's been my career ever since.
Awesome. Wow. We're looking at your diploma.
I know. Can I pin this? Can I take a picture of this and pin this before I leave?
Sure, of course. Yeah,
this has to go on my Pinterest board.
Twitting. Yeah, exactly.
But
no problem.
So, and you have been in this building for how many years?
Well, we've been here since 1997, so almost
wow.
15 years, about 14 and a half years since we got started here at Bauman Medical Group. It was a smaller facility at first, and then we've built onto it. We've expanded over the years.
Okay.
Today we have over 5,000 square feet, which encompass the administrative side as well as the four operatories and the laser therapy spa.
Okay, well... I've had to touch base on that. We're like very into lasers.
We love
equipment.
Cool. Well, we've got a lot of fun gadgets.
Okay.
You know, I know gadgetry is a little bit of a personal problem, and if you ask my wife, she'll agree.
Yeah.
You know, I have that disease where I have to have anything that starts with an I.
You should see this office.
but that also lends itself very well to a fast-moving medical field where we can employ the technology for our patient's benefit.
Mm-hmm. So pretty much you had just mentioned that you're like one of the first doctor that went digital, because in a sense that you're saying that your mentor like took pictures of the hair transplant and little...
Yeah, my hair transplant mentor took pictures of his patients with a 35mm film camera. Remember those?
Yeah.
When I started in 1997, we were 100% digital. So I bought an Olympus camera, which was the state of the art at that time. It was a 1-megapixel camera.
Wow.
Single lens reflex. So it was a DSLR. It was one of the first available. And it was the state of the art. I think the pictures were maybe like, you know, 900K or something like that. It wasn't even 1 megabyte. But those photos, I still have those. Some of the original photos, like of my dad who had his hair transplants, were taken with that camera from way back then.
And your Flickr page is like, I can't get over how many images you have.
And you're just looking at, this is just one set.
This is just one set.
Oh my
gosh.
You know, if you look at all my collections, you know, I've got 6 different collections, and we've got over 1,000 photos, I think, on the stream.
And you know what? I noticed you have a lot of female too.
Absolutely, 50% of my patients are women.
Okay.
And, you know, when I first got started in hair transplantation and hair restoration, I really didn't expect
a
lot of women. You don't think about that. A lot of the marketing over the years has been, you know, hair club for men and things like that, geared towards the male hair loss patient. Mm-hmm. But women, hair thinning in women is, you know, it's a desperate situation.
Yeah.
Well, guys can shave their head, you know, look at Michael Jordan or Telly Savalas, you know, and they can get away with that. Right. And even better if they have 8% body fat, but you know, but women, you know, they can't go the route of Britney Spears, you know, just or Sinead O'Connor. It's just not going to work.
Right.
No, it's because our hair is that's our staple.
Yeah.
It's
that's your an
crown, crowning glory, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So over the years, treatments and technologies and even transplants improve greatly for women. And I have also different services that are, you know, women like, for example, eyelash transplants.
Yeah,
and
I
was
going to ask you about
that.
Yeah. I have a lot of clients that ask me, you know, where can I find a good permanent makeup artist?
Mm.
And, you know, I always cringe when I hear that because...
Because it's permanent.
It's,
in that sense.
Well, yeah, once you draw something on there, it's going to have, you know, an odd look to it.
Well, it can, and you know, there are really talented permanent makeup artists that do brush stroke eyebrows and things like that, but still, it's going to be two-dimensional.
Yeah.
And so there's nothing better than having a three-dimensional brow.
Yeah.
You know, and if you've had, or lashes, obviously, but if you've had permanent makeup, a lot of women do use transplantation to fill in on top of that permanent makeup template, if you will, with the eyebrow transplant.
Oh.
And so sometimes the combination looks really, really nice. Now, of course, you have to start out with a good shape and a good design, just like with a hairline, but a combination of therapy can sometimes work. I mean, we don't do tattooing, but we do the eyebrow transplant.
So it works, it works good for you because you have that template. So
absolutely, yeah. And a lot of women have already gone the route of the permanent makeup, and now they want something more permanent.
And the success is 100%.
Oh yeah, the transplanted hairs are going to grow.
I've never even thought of it.
You know, 98 today.
Sign me up.
I need hair.
Today, the growth rates or the take rates of hair transplant. At least here in my practice, are not an issue. So we're not like, it's not like the days of old where you transplanted a hair and crossed your fingers and hope it grew.
Yeah.
It's not like that. 98% of the transplanted hairs grow, and that's because we've learned how to take care of these buggers when they're outside of the body.
Yeah.
We've learned how to carefully manage the hair follicle as an organ while it's being transported, literally, you know, out of the body, harvested, and then stored for several hours, and then reimplanted.
Wow, it's like a stem cell?
Yeah, I was going to ask you the next one was about stem.
Well, the storage has changed over the years.
Okay.
Years ago, it used to be cold or chilled saline. And then there were some newer storage solutions like what they used for organ transplantation, where called hypothermosol.
Uh-huh.
And so that is a really sophisticated solution that feeds the follicle while it's outside the body. Today, we use autologous PRP, or autologel.
Okay.
So platelet-rich plasma is something that we get from the patient, essentially. It's a tiny blood draw before we get started. We process that in a tabletop device. It's a tabletop centrifuge that's specifically designed, and a process and a kit that enables us to extract the PRP right from the blood sample. And we use part of that for a biologic bandage after the surgery, and we use the other part of the autologel for graft storage. I think that makes a huge difference.
That's amazing,
Because we talk about PRP all the time on the show. We're a big advocate for PRP.
Well, what's better than using the own pharmacy in your body?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what platelets are. It's your own body's pharmacy. So we understand the benefits of wound healing for many years, but storing these organs outside, storing the follicles outside of the body in the PRP, I think makes a big difference.
Gosh, we really are becoming vampires.
No, we're like so into this. We're a big advocate for PRP. I always talk about it to all my doctors. I always find out they're involved in it. But never did I ever think of hair transplant using PRP.
And we've also used PRP plus some of the extracellular matrix products as a standalone therapy. And that's a very, very new technology, using things like A-cell, which is the powder that, you know, grows back people's fingers when they get their fingers cut off.
Uh-huh.
So mixing their own PRP with the A-cell product, injecting that into the scalp, we are seeing some rejuvenation, some hair growth.
I mean,
not in every case, not every time, but it does seem to be helping.
Okay.
In a vast majority of patients. So we're pretty excited about that. And there's been a lot of doctors talking about that mm-hmm. in the meetings and the conferences yeah. that we've been attending. So International Society of Hair Restoration Surgery, mm-hmm. we've seen a lot of talk about PRP and ACell. Mm-hmm. And that's what got us started in it. That's what really wow. Led us to that technology. As well as the state-of-the-art stuff that we do in transplants.
Yeah, let's talk about the laser part, too. So yeah. from there, so you have a whole laser center for hair.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about that.
So once a patient's evaluated, very much what we're trying to do is stop the progression of the hair loss
okay.
or improve the quality of their existing hair.
Okay.
And so that's a key component to any hair restoration regimen.
Mm-hmm.
That does something completely different than what transplants do, which is to put hair back into thinning or balding zones.
Mm-hmm.
I have a quick question. Yeah. I don't mean to interject,
sure.
but
we're so excited.
The length of time that the person has been balding, mm-hmm. does that make a difference then?
Well, that makes
what you're saying?
Yeah, that makes a huge difference because preventative treatments are best at the earliest stage.
Right. Okay.
So the earlier you can diagnose and treat the hair loss process, the better the results are going to be in the long run.
Okay.
So the idea is to try to delay or prevent a hair mm-hmm. transplant, to try to avoid it if you can.
Wow.
I mean, obviously, there are areas of the scalp sometimes which are severely depleted and it's just too late. You might need a transplant for those areas, but we want to protect the other areas that are at risk
mm-hmm.
at the same time that we are restoring the other locations. So laser therapy falls into that category.
Okay.
And, of course, you've got the two FDA-approved medications that are out there and mm-hmm. laser, which make up the backbone of a multi-therapy regimen,
okay.
and nutrition too. So you've got medications, topical and oral, you've got the low-level laser therapy, and nutrition.
Is there anything to do with hormones or anything like that? Is it DHT?
If you want to get into, like for male pattern hair loss, we know today the mechanism of male pattern hair loss, testosterone in the body is converted into dihydrotestosterone,
mm-hmm.
DHT.
Mm-hmm.
It's circulating in the blood, it's throughout all the tissues, and the DHT is the trigger for male pattern hair loss. So what you inherit from your mom's side or your dad's side is the sensitivity to mm-hmm. DHT.
Okay.
And the speed at which you lose your hair and the extent of the pattern will be related to that sensitivity that you inherit. So the treatment options for men especially come into play when you try to decrease the DHT production in the body. And that's
mm-hmm.
most easily done with finasteride or mm-hmm. Propecia. That was the first oral FDA-approved medication.
Yep.
It works by blocking the formation of DHT. So guys who start Propecia early, 90% of them maintain the hair they have or are better than mm-hmm. when they started 5 years down the road. So it's a really good percentage of success. 90% of guys look the same or better after 5 years on Propecia.
Wow. Well,
Propecia got a really bad rap, though, when it first came out for men, especially, they'd rather be bald than...
Right. What you're talking about are sexual side effects.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We do know from the original clinical trials and the ongoing studies that sexual side effects can occur with Propecia, but thank God they're rare. Less than 2%.
Oh, really?
1.8% of patients have sexual side effects from Propecia. They're typically mild and reversible. There's been some talk of some prolonged side effects from Propecia,
mm-hmm.
but I think that has to do with the age of the patients that are experiencing these side effects. And, of course, if you go off of medication after 10 years, your body is not the same as it was 10 years before.
Yeah. Right.
So if you started Propecia in your 20s and then you're into your 30s, obviously your libido is going to be different when you're 30 than when it was when you were 20. So that adds to the confusion. But the point is that Propecia is still the standard of care. It's still the oral FDA-approved drug for hair loss. If you have a side effect, you stop the medication
mm-hmm.
and it comes out of your system in a week. It's out and gone.
Now, does hair loss for women also have to do with DHT, or?
Well, hair loss in women, women are more complicated,
yeah.
right? I mean, you guys know that. It's always more complicated.
We always talk about this. So we focus a lot on women and
yeah.
women's problems.
Sure.
Or estrogen factor.
Yeah. Well, we don't know everything there is to know about women's hair loss, but here's
okay.
the story. It is genetic also because it happens in a pattern, and we know
mm-hmm.
it runs in families.
Mm-hmm.
We know it can come from the mother's side or father's side. Sometimes it switches over from the mother's
mm-hmm.
side to the father's side. We know that there are factors that affect a woman's hair follicles. And women's hair follicles are sensitive to stress and nutrition, medications, illness.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wide variety of things that can set off a shedding phase
yeah.
or can exacerbate or accelerate a female pattern of hair loss. Even childbirth, change of life, perimenopause, menopause, all of these hormone shifts can throw the follicles into a shedding phase or cause increased miniaturization. So the key is to really get the evaluation and then figure out what kind of a plan of action to do from there.
Or change your sex. No.
Well, if you can do that. You know, it's interesting. We could talk about transgender hair transplants.
No, that's okay.
We've had those requests. We have those requests. Yeah, well, men who have male pattern hair, a man who wants to change into a woman needs a different hairline. And so if you're a man with male pattern hair loss and you want to, you want to be transgender, you want to change into a female, you need hair transplants. So that is a request that often comes to hair transplant surgeons to feminize the hairline along with the other slew of things that you would be doing to change your body from male to female.
Wow.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So that's, that's kind of a small, it's a very small part of the practice, obviously. You know, eyelash transplants, eyebrow transplants, these are small pieces of hair transplant practices, not your garden variety.
Well, most people don't know that they have that choices. I mean, like, I did not know that. And, my other life was, I was a makeup artist. I worked at Saks Fifth Avenue for 7 years. If I had known that, I would have, promoting that like crazy, because I feel that's, if people knew about it, or especially women, if we knew about it, it would be a much better choice than going getting tattooed.
I mean, right, for the eyebrows. And of course, you might know that eyelash transplants are a lot more popular now than it ever was. It's a very common thing that we do here in the practice.
And also because of cancer, too. Like for people going through chemo, I mean, there's a lot of, that in itself is another business. I mean, that'd be another show we'll have to cover for women's health. But let's get back to, let's talk some more about, so you're talking about, we talked about Propecia, we talked about the lasers.
Laser therapy.
Type of lasers?
Yeah, so laser therapy has been a part of our medical group for a long time. We've had in-office lasers here at the Laser Spot, overlooks the lake, beautiful, relaxing location, where patients would come in 2 to 3 times a week for their laser therapy sessions. And this makes your hair grow thicker, fuller, and healthier looking over time. It's a non-chemical, non-drug treatment option. And we've been able to monitor these patients, the ones that were consistent with the therapy. We monitored them very closely and saw some nice improvements. Again, it's not going to be bare to hair. That's not what laser therapy does. It's going to be more similar to what minoxidil can do, meaning that the weaker hairs are going to get thicker and stronger over time when you treat them with the light energy. So 10 years ago, if you didn't want to come into the office, all you could do if you wanted laser therapy is pick up a handheld brush type or comb type laser. Now, of course, that unit was a lot less powerful than what we had in the office and a lot more difficult to use. So it's kind of like watering your lawn with a watering can. That kind of treatment option may not be, so viable and so successful for many patients because of the effort that's involved and the fact that it's really weak. But the good news is that today, about 3 years ago, we were introduced to the inventor of the laser cap.
Okay.
The laser
I was
going
to ask you about that because I've seen those at the shows, and I was going to ask you what difference is it, and also is it attainable to
Laser cap was exciting. When I saw it back in 2008 in Amsterdam, I was at a medical conference. I was psyched, because I knew the amount of laser energy that was combined and embedded literally underneath this baseball hat was going to be similar to what we were getting out of our big in-office units. But instead of a 200-pound, $200,000 unit, here in the office, now you have it literally fitting under your baseball hat in a wafer-thin circuit board, cordless and rechargeable, totally and 100% portable. And you could wear it anywhere, anytime. As long as that battery pack is charged, you can do the treatment. So think about it. Compliance goes way up. You don't have to come into the clinic, although, it's a nice location. You can come in. But you don't have to come in. You can do it in your car while you're walking the dog, watching TV. So, that it's a really, really nice treatment option and one where patients have a lot of success.
I did not know about that.
You could wear that instead of your nice little...
My little hat
that you wear.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to... Well, that's the thing. It doesn't have to be in a baseball hat. You can put it under your polo hat down here in Boca. Polo hats are coming into season, right? Or you can wear it under a bandana, or guys under a do-rag, whatever you like.
What does something like that cost?
Laser cap is $3,000. Oh, it's a physician-only device, so it's available only through physicians.
Okay.
And, of course, we track them, meaning that if you come in and want a laser... You come in and we do a hair check measurement. That's a cross-sectional trichometry measurement to see what the hair volume is in different areas of the scalp. And we monitor you every 90 days while you're on the treatment program.
That's nice.
And so we can show you how much it's working, how much it's maintaining. We could tell you when you're not doing it, because I know when you're not doing it, your hair's getting weaker. So, and we know now. There's no hiding from us. Oh, yeah, doc, sure, I've been doing the treatment. No, you haven't.
So that's what it would cost, like, if I came to Bauman Medical Center, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Does that include the doctor's visits, or is that separate? Or
we do charge for consultation. It's $100 for the consultation or $99 for the consult.
That's really
reasonable. And that's a one-time fee that basically covers the admin part of it. You get the full complete evaluation, the hair checks, literally for life, and you can come back in at any time and get those hair checks here in the office, and you have 100% full-time, 24-hour-a-day access to the clinic, meaning that you can reach us anytime, anywhere.
That's nice.
So we're there for our patients. It's a commitment that I made early on in the practice 15 years ago. And that's what we do.
Fantastic.
So, I mean, that's just a small step, you know, to able to keep your hair forever, you know. That's
So that's one part of the laser treatment that you have. Do you have what other lasers?
Well, the in-office lasers, would be $4,000 for a year's worth of treatment.
Okay.
So you can see, I mean, if you had the flexibility to get the device, then that's going to be a lot better in terms of economy. You know, it's a more economical and portable advantage. So the laser spa is not as busy as it used to be, but that's okay, you know.
Yeah.
More patients are being helped from a farther distance with the laser cap than we could ever treat here in the office. Well, so it doesn't bother me.
That gives you more time anyways with your children and family.
Not so much time during the day anymore, you know. We're seeing about 1,000 new patients a year here. We do about 250 surgeries, about 250, 300 surgeries per year, and about 1,000 new patients. But we have a huge cohort of patients who are under medical management.
Okay.
And so those are patients that may never, ever need a hair transplant.
Okay.
And that's, you know, being treated with topical medications or laser therapy or Propecia or something similar to help prevent or keep them at the stage that they're at right now.
So from there, because I was on your website, I was very impressed. I want to talk about the hair graft.
Mm-hmm. Like, the new types of transplants.
Yeah, the new types, because it's not like what I envisioned it used to be. You know, when you see hair graft for men, I just remember just these guys with the little follicles that didn't look right.
Right.
And so now, I mean, with the pictures you have, it's incredible. You couldn't even tell that they had anything done. Yeah.
The amazing thing about hair transplant is that it's changed so much just within the past few decades.
Okay.
I mean, our wooden dentures, you know, the unnatural plugs of the past, those were being done in the 70s and 80s, so it's not too long ago.
Yeah.
And remember, those hairs are permanent, so you can still see those guys out there with those hair plugs.
Yeah.
But today's technology, single follicle implantation, has been available for about 10 to 15 years in the frontal hairline. So we've been doing undetectable hairlines with this artistic approach for many, many years. What's new is how we harvest the hair.
Okay.
So this is the breakthrough stuff.
Okay.
Follicular unit extraction now eliminates the need for a strip harvest. So we don't have to take a strip of scalp from the back of the head anymore and put in stitches and leave you with a linear scar.
Yeah.
We use a technique called FUE. That's the follicular unit extraction technique.
Uh-huh.
And the best device that we've ever come across is called a neograft.
Okay.
So that's the tool that we use. And we actually harvest the individual follicular units one at a time from the back of the scalp.
Wow.
And so patients can now return to work very quickly, or they go back to the gym in 3 days.
Uh-huh.
Scabbing and crusting is gone in a week.
Wow.
And you're never, ever left with a linear scar.
But I noticed your beard, too. You pick.
Well, yeah, that's the cool part about FUE is that wherever you have a hair follicle, we can go after it.
Okay.
So that opens up a lot of available hair across the body for some guys. You know, guys come in, they're like, hey, dog, can I take the hair off my back? Well, yeah, actually, we can.
Yeah.
We can use that hair. Now, sometimes back hair may not necessarily be a great match for your scalp. But other locations like the beard grow very, very well.
Okay.
And that's not the first place we would want to go, but if you have someone, for example, who's had a lot of hair transplants in the past with some scarring in the back, we can use beard hair to fill in the inconspicuous areas like the crown for the back, or fill in the scar.
Nice.
And those hairs will, you know, you can use those hairs instead of having to go back into the scalp to harvest more.
Now, do the hairs, for example, the ones on your beard and the ones on your back, do they grow differently?
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. See, that's the trick. Because body hair, whether it's chest, belly, back, arm, leg, doesn't have the same growth cycle, and it certainly doesn't match, it doesn't match in terms of curl and color, the hair on your scalp. So that's where it gets a little tricky. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can do a body hair transplant, and the results are just not as robust mm-hmm. as what you would expect from the scalp, and so patients have to understand that. Think about the hair that, you know, a guy has on his leg. It may be a certain, only an inch long, for example, a certain length. It doesn't grow to 3 inches, 4 mm-hmm. inches. So, I mean, that might be okay for underbrush in the forest, but that's not like an oak tree, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Right, absolutely. So, that's what I was thinking.
It's not going to grow the same.
So that's why I was like, wait. Yeah.
And then, of course, the curl and texture is going to be different also. Right. So you probably wouldn't want to be using that for the frontal hairline unless you had, like, a really curly, thick afro. You know, that kind
but
of
it,
hair.
But it works well, like, to fill in the gaps.
Yeah. So it's an alternative source of donor. It has its risks mm-hmm. and benefits. But the beard has long growth cycles. So the beard hair is really, really robust, and that grows very well in the scalp. And so that's kind of our next best option, if you will, mm-hmm. aside from the scalp, to harvest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And that's what I just noticed. Really, you do scar repair, too.
Absolutely.
That's because I know a lot of people, I've seen people with, like, a scar on the scalp and like the hair doesn't grow back.
Correct. Well, you know, if you have a scar from an injury or a surgery, like a brow lift or something like that, a lot of people don't want that scar to be visible. And mm-hmm. so hair transplantation is a viable option to fill in that scar.
Wow.
And FUE, of course, this new technique using the neograft, mm-hmm. allows us to harvest the hairs without leaving you with additional scarring that's visible to the naked eye. So we can take out those follicles, put them back in into the scar area. As long as we do it carefully, you're gonna grow hair there. It's gonna work.
So and pretty much, you do anything that has to do with hair, you're the guy. Right? You think about it.
I mean, look, we help our patients enhance, maintain, and restore their own living and growing hair. So there's a lot of pieces of that puzzle.
Okay.
Especially as a full-time board certified hair transplant surgeon, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of it has to do. A lot of patients ask me, you know, like, what kind of shampoo should they be using?
Yeah,
what kind of hair products and things like that.
Especially now with the summer,
I see you have your own products.
Yeah. Well, look. You know, shampoo is not a one-size-fits-all thing. Yeah. Why do you think there's 1,000 bottles at your local mm-hmm. supermarket? I mean, you know, it's because everybody has a different color, quality, texture to their hair. And some people have thin hair, some people have coarse hair, some people have oily scalp, some people have dry scalp. But when you have thin hair, you want a deep cleanser and a light conditioner. So that's not magic. That's what we created. The Bauman MD hair product line is designed for, you know, an 80% success rate with our patients, meaning that 80% of our patients have a thinning hair problem that could be helped with a deep cleanser and a light conditioner.
Why deep cleanser? Is it?
Well, you want to wash away the oils from the scalp and also from the hair so that it doesn't get weighed down.
Okay.
And you want to rinse out and wash out and scrub out that hair product that you're using. Because if you have thin hair to begin with, and you have excessive sebum, which are the oils from the scalp, or dirt and debris, mm-hmm. or even a hair product buildup, it's going to weigh that hair down, and you're going to have a hard time styling it.
Okay.
So we have a sulfate-free version, which is excellent, and the light conditioner, which is really, really nice. Oh, that's the basics.
Do you remember when I used to do hair years ago, mm-hmm. and I remember they used to take... They say they always want to clarify the hair when you take off with the shampoo. The shampoo, that clarifying shampoo seems to be so harsh, and then you go in with conditioner.
Yeah. Well, this is where there's always some confusion, like which shampoo is right for you.
Uh-huh.
So if you don't have that thin, weak hair that has an oil problem,
mm-hmm.
Then the clarifying is not going to be for you. You need something different.
Yeah.
You know, if your hair is relatively dry, you don't want to use a clarifier because it's going to strip the whatever little bit of oil that you have that's good for the moisturizing of the hair. So it's not so simple to find a hair product that works for you. But, you know, in general, you know, if you have curly hair, you might need a little bit more conditioning, as you know. And then, you know, this is a big concern for many men and women.
Yeah. So let me ask you this when it comes to hair, especially for the sun, because we've been doing like a summer series about taking care of your skin, taking care of your hair. At one time they used to say put sunscreen, like the sun products have sunscreen for the hair. Is that necessary?
Well, why would you need to do that?
So I don't know. I mean, they talk up. They always are telling you this.
So the hair, once the hair is grown, right, it doesn't self repair. So it's kind of like you bought the shirt off the rack and now you take it home. So how do you take care of that silk blouse? You know, you don't want to leave it out in the sun. You don't want to wash it in the washing machine. You know, you've got to be careful with it. You don't want to use the iron too hot. So this is how you take care of a delicate fiber, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the same concepts hold true for your hair. Especially in the summertime, depending on where you are in the world, you know, it can be very, very hot, a lot of sun, extra sun exposure than you would normally get.
Mm-hmm.
You may be swimming in pools or in salt water, and these are conditions which can degrade the hair shaft.
Mm-hmm.
So UV radiation degrades the proteins, can make your hair break more often. It degrades the cuticle, which protects the hair. So there are products like my conditioner, for example, the Bowman MD conditioner, has UV protection built in.
Okay.
So you can use it as a leave-in conditioner when you go to the beach. That's going to protect you
from
that UV damage. So just like the heat that you're using, you know, to flat iron or you're blow-drying your hair, that can torture you. You're torturing your hair. You know, leave it alone. So, no, but that, you know, that can cause breakage just as much as chemicals and other things can as well. So if you have long hair, that's more of an issue.
I didn't even know that shampoo come with the UV already into it. It's just yours.
Yeah, a lot of them do. A lot of them do now.
I never saw
because
that.
It's important. Yeah, our conditioner absolutely is a UV protectant, and that does help. You know, and also making sure that you, like when you're going coming out of a swimming pool, that you recondition, because that really strips a lot of the natural oils out of the skin.
So the people that with blonde hair walk around with green hair.
Well, yeah. Well, the green is actually a deposition from the copper. It's been dissolved. So that's the mineral that's dissolved in the pool water. And different parts of the country have more copper in their water than others.
Okay.
Copper pipes, obviously, are where the source is. So the copper gets deposited into the hair.
Okay.
So clarifying shampoo can usually help that green hair syndrome.
Yeah.
Extra washing can help. I just read online, if you believe it, that a ketchup wash helps out with the clarifying of green hair. I don't know if I believe it. I haven't seen it. I haven't tried it. So.
Wow.
But I did see that
ketchup.
That here.
Yeah,
ketchup.
Well, it makes sense because
it's
acidic. Acidic, but also it's the coloring. It's a counteract because if you have green hair, you want to go in with violet base or pearl base. So,
okay. Well, I don't know.
She's a makeup artist.
Yeah, well, maybe you're right about that. But I did hear that.
That makes sense.
There are specific shampoos that help clarify and get rid of that deposition.
But should we cover our hair? Like, you know how they say that if you wear, you pull your hair back too much, you're going to be like, causing
alopecia,
you know what I'm saying?
Well, for you to pull on your hair enough to cause hair loss, it would be difficult. I mean, there are certain ethnicities, tight braids and such, can pull on the hair so tough and so hard over long periods of time that can cause traction alopecia. So that would be a constant tension or pulling on the hair follicle that would eventually shut the follicle down, or at least release the hair initially, and then the hair would grow back a little bit weaker.
Okay.
And if you braided it again, it would get weaker.
My hairdresser now I have tons of grays, but when I first started graying, I would tweeze them because I hated it. And my hairdresser was like, stop doing that. You're going to cause alopecia. Is that true?
Well, they were right. Yes, they are correct about that. What? Because if you pull the hair consistently, the same one time and time again, the follicle will eventually shut down. And the reason why we know that is because there's actually a compulsive condition called trichotillomania. Trichotillomania is a compulsive psychological condition that people literally pull the hair compulsively out of their scalp or their eyebrows or their eyelashes over time.
So
if you continue to pull,
that's what it was called, but
or think about if you continue to tweeze your eyebrows too much, those follicles will shut down and they will not grow again. So if you continue to do that on the scalp, you will cause a little bald spot.
So basically, being an electrolysis is the same thing, except I was doing it on my scalp.
Right, you were doing it without the zapper there,
yeah,
you know, boiling those follicles, you know, don't be doing that anymore, right?
Is it true, though, that you get more hair, more gray hair? No, right?
Well, you're going to get more gray hair no matter what you do, so sorry.
Now, where is the miracle gray hair be gone?
What's up with all that nowadays? You hear like all these people, I see this.
You see the products.
Yeah, these products you use this, all of a sudden your gray hair.
Yeah, I haven't had any. Well, look, I'm always an optimist that maybe there was some breakthrough, but I haven't seen any real science on that yet. And I certainly haven't had any patients come back to me and say, you know, that vitamin really grew my hair darker. You know, nobody said that.
Well, being a part of that other industry we used to work for, you know, I had doctors tell me all the time, "Oh yeah, there's a cure for that. The
secure
the dye companies, the hair dye companies, or the big, they have the patent and they don't want to release it.
I doubt it. Because there's some big money in that. Yeah. I mean, if you had the patent for it, you would release it because it's, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. I can imagine. I mean, you know, I would, if I worked for the company, I would scratch their eyes out for it. So, you know, everybody ages.
Yeah. But nobody's keeping that secret under wraps, you know. But there are a few vitamins that are out there that claim, that make those claims. I'm not sure that those claims will stand. They may not be hurting anybody with those claims, so I'm not sure if it'll get the, you know, the attention of the FDA so quickly. They've got bigger fish to fry. But, you know, I haven't seen any patients come back and say, oh yeah, you know, that's vitamin, you know, made my hair turn back to dark and from gray. You know, it's not. Has not happened yet. So, but if you hear something, you know, hey, I've got a lot of patients who would love to try it. So, and if you're out there listening to this and you've had good success with some kind of a anti-gray vitamin, let Tanya and I know about it. We want to hear about it.
So, before I'm going to wrap up the show, but you were like one of the first doctor who's ever live streamed a hair transplant.
And that's so true. We did the first and largest live hair transplant surgery on the internet. I was the first to stream the FUE procedure, which is the follicular unit extraction with NeoGraft. We did it with Naltz, who's a very prominent YouTube celebrity. And about a year, to a year and a half later, we did it for his friend, who another YouTube celebrity, Greg Benson from Los Angeles. And these guys, you can find them on the internet. Greg Benson is from Mediocre Films.
Okay.
And Naltz is everywhere, especially if you Google his fart videos, you'll find him. But if you look up Hair of Naltz, you'll find his stuff. But we're very excited because this summer, in anticipation of Hair Loss Awareness Month, which is August, we will be streaming another live surgery with the NeoGraft FUE procedure for a local celebrity, Kevin Ralston. He's a morning radio show guy from Wild 95.5 here in South Florida. And his blog will be all a buzz about his hair loss issues and the taunting and teasing he's gotten from his coworkers and other people and how he's been thinking about his hair loss for over 10 years.
So
he's finally taking the step forward with the hair transplant procedure. So July 11th, 2012, obviously, we will be streaming live on the internet his procedure. But there'll definitely be a lot of information about his process and his condition and his treatments going out before, during, and after that program.
Definitely have to follow that, So where will you be streaming at? Is it going to be on Ustream? Or
it's going to be hosted by Spencer Cobrin, who is the well-known talk radio show host of The Bald Truth. He's the number one consumer advocate for hair loss. And he works closely with Andrew Zarian, who is in Queens. Guys from Queens Network will be streaming it, and so it goes across Justin TV, Ustream. It's widely syndicated.
Okay, awesome.
We also will be having it on live stream.
Okay.
And on live stream, you'll be able to see the HD version. So this will be the first ever HD hair transplant live on the internet.
I'll watch it on my television.
So it should be pretty interesting. We got the bandwidth ready to go, and so we're excited for
what
the
time
prospect.
Is it?
Well, the procedure is going to go all day from about 8 in the morning until about 5 in the afternoon. We're probably going to be streaming the question and answer session probably around 11 to 1. But, you know, stay tuned for more updates on when exactly that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I'd like to know about it.
But, you know, midday is kind of, midday Eastern time is when we expect to have the question and answers. So there'll be a live call-in, 800 number you can call in, talk to Spencer Cobrin, who'll be hosting.
Nice.
And guys from Queens will be distributing, syndicating the feed out there across numerous platforms. So just about every platform that you can think of that guys from Queens works with.
You need to go to Spreecast.
So it'll be really, really neat.
Well, there's a new platform called Spreecast. I'd like to get you on before that and get them on too. Because Spreecast is a video, it's really a webcam, but there's four people. And in the bot, it's like being on CNN on steroids. So you invite your Twitter and Facebook friends in all at once. And so people can like post, tweet, whatever, all at once. And I'd like to set you up.
That's great.
I'll ask my co-host on Friday. We have one. We do one every Friday.
Nice.
And so
we're supposed to be doing one on Wednesday too.
I know, but I do it in person.
Okay.
This is better.
Yeah. Now we don't have. Yeah, we don't have to meet on the internet. So, you know, one of the other things that we did was we did the first live hair transplant on YouTube Live. Wow. So, you know, YouTube is usually, you know, on demand. They have a live platform, as you might know. And we did the first live hair transplant on YouTube. That was last summer.
Is that all ouchless? I'm looking at this, your photos.
It's ouchless. The ouchless needle is an FDA-approved device that eliminates the pain of injections.
Awesome.
So, you know, very often patients think that a hair transplant is going to be like a torture chamber.
Yeah,
that's what I've always heard.
Well, if you watch the videos, you'll see that those guys are not in any pain. It doesn't hurt at all. The scalp is completely numb. But the way we got the scalp
I just
numb...
I thought you paid them a lot of money to do that.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Well, we gave them a lot of hair to do it that way. No. If you know Nalts and Greg Benson and those guys, they're very honest about, you know, they video everything. Their families, their friends, their wives and kids, and you name it. So you see all of the lumps and bumps that they take live on the internet. So, but no, the ouchless needle is a painless way to get the scalp numb. And so a lot of patients take comfort in that, knowing that the procedure is going to be comfortable. They'll watch, usually, if we're not streaming your procedure live, then it's going to be, you could watch movies and relax and listen to music and things like that.
How long does it take, like for an average?
A typical procedure can be a long process. So, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, I'll bet hair transplant surgeons could do hair transplants on their lunch hour, you know?
Yeah.
And that's certainly not the way it is anymore.
Okay.
So hair transplant procedures are a 20-man-hour job. And that means that it's me plus my team of 3 to 5 technicians at least, not more, working full tilt really from morning till late afternoon. There's a lot of different parts of the procedure. Obviously, there's a lot of planning that goes into what's going to look right for each patient. And then the preparatory photos and the scalp wash and that local anesthetic that goes in. And then I've got to work to make the sites where the hairs are going to be implanted. And once that's done, then we know how many grafts we need to get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start extracting. So the extraction phase will happen. We'll get as many hairs as we need to fill those grafts, to fill the sites that we've done with the grafts. And then the team will help me place the grafts into position. So some patients will actually do 2 procedures back to back, 2 separate days. But, you know, most patients today can be done in as little as 1 session.
Holy cow! I have
a ton more questions.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No.
Well, no. I just wonder how you extract and just keep that follicle living.
Mm-hmm.
I want to watch one.
Yeah. Well, you'll see it. You should come by for a live surgery. And well, we have a procedure going on today. You can watch a little bit of if you'd like. In a little while, we'll be doing some extraction. I'll be doing the extractions for that patient. But basically, what we do is using the NeoGraft. It makes a tiny little scoring incision at the level of the skin around the follicle, not super deep, just very, very minimal. And then the follicle is literally plucked out of the scalp. And so then the follicles are all gathered up and they're put into the storage solution. We talked about the PRP.
Mm-hmm.
And they're held in that solution before transplant and back into the scalp.
It has to be scored a little.
Yeah, the device is the NeoGraft is a minimal depth scoring device, essentially. It's a round device that kind of has an angled tip on it, kind of like a dental instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little tiny punch, 0.8 millimeters, wow. So smaller than the tip of this ballpoint pen.
Mm-hmm.
The device literally circumvents the follicle, goes around the follicle. We have to make sure it's in the right direction of the hair, correct, you know, alignment.
Mm-hmm.
And it cuts about a third of the way down the follicle, which is only about 2 millimeters. And then the follicle, after a bunch of those are been done, then the follicles are plucked. From the scalp.
I want to watch.
She's all about this.
And that's how it works. I mean, and then we got to get them back in. So there is a lot of labor that's involved with each part of the procedure. But it's me and my team that gets the job done.
Well,
I have the best team in the world,
Every hair takes, every single hair that you
98%.
Implant?
We say 98% of the transplanted hairs grow.
That's amazing.
We're not worried about hair growth anymore. This is not like do a procedure and cross your fingers, hope it grows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like a kidney transplant where there's this rejection
percentage.
Not like that. Not like that. So it takes 98% of the grafts are going to grow.
Awesome. Okay.
And the FUE grafts that we do, I can only speak for myself, the grafts that we do, they grow robust. I mean, they grow strong.
Nice.
And a lot of that has to do with some of the non-invasive treatments that we use around the procedure.
Yeah,
like
I was going to ask you about that.
The
maintenance of afterward.
Yeah.
How much maintenance is there?
Well, there's not a lot of maintenance, but you know, to get the grafts to grow, it's just around the time of the surgery that we do the PRP, that we make sure their nutrition is right on, and that you know, they're doing the laser therapy.
So there's a commitment of somebody. It's not just you go in, you get your hair transplant, come out, and you can just...
eat what you want and drink what you want.
Your results are going to be a lot better if you follow my instructions.
Yeah.
You know, you'll get a much better result from the process. And I think today, you know, look, nobody comes in haphazardly. They know what they're getting into. Mm-hmm. Believe me, when they get their packet of information and it's, you know, it's 50 pages long, they know it's a serious business. And they know that they have to be on board with the treatments that we do in order to get the very best results. And if they don't, then, you know, it's a crapshoot for them. Sorry.
Yeah, because some people, you know, I always thought, like, if you did this, it's a commitment, then you got to make sure you're eating the right food, you're not smoking, drinking, you have to, like, being taking really good care of yourself.
You know,
it's a commitment.
My mentor once told me, chief surgery resident told me that surgery is a symphony of detail, and certainly hair transplant is the ultimate symphony of detail. And so this is why you can't just choose your surgeon based on, you know, what kind of gadget he has, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That you really have to look at the fact that, okay, is this guy a plastic surgeon who just learned how to do a hair transplant on a weekend course and bought the latest and greatest device, you know? Or is this someone who's focused on a hair transplant procedures for the past 15 years, you know, has thousands of surgeries under his belt, and really, like what we do, eat, sleep, and drink hair transplants.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're focused on it, and that's a big difference from other clinics that are out there that are, you know, large national clinics that don't use medical consultants or, you know, part-time docs who are busy doing, you know, facelifts and breast augmentation and eyelid lifts and then once in a while a hair transplant. I mean, I don't think you want your plumber doing your electrical work, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I worked at another clinic, and a gentleman had walked in, you know, and I think he was a doctor. I'm not really sure. But he was trying to bring in hair restoration to our clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my doctor looked at it and said, no, this isn't the place for that type of business, you know. You just can't do it anywhere, you know.
Yeah. And well, like I said, it's different. You know, years ago, maybe hair transplant was a smaller time commitment. It had, you know, easy instruments and, you know, it was something that maybe dermatologists could do on their lunch hour. But today, if you're a dermatologist seeing 40 or 50 patients a day, you're not going to be able to do a hair transplant.
No, it sounds very, very detailed.
Extremely detailed.
You know. It's an art, really, if you think about it.
Well, it's a combination of art and science because you have to have the technology to get the hair, like the neograft and the FUE process, but you also have to have an aesthetic eye to recreate a natural, undetectable hairline, and that's what we do.
That's awesome.
That is incredible. No, because I really thought, you know, that's what the main focus was, to find out, is it the same, like your father, your grandfather's hair system or hair transplant? But it's not. This is like so 21st century.
Yeah, this is not your father's hair transplant.
Yeah. Because, you know, because when you hear about it back then, it was kind of like, oh, I'm going to go to lunch, I'm going to get my hair transplant and come home. I mean, back then, I remember hearing people talking about it, and you could tell that they had it done. I mean,
right. Well, the good news is that patients today don't have to worry about it being a torture chamber. It's going to be a comfortable day, and they can also be comfortable in knowing that the end result, if they're choosing the right physician and so forth and the right technology, that it's going to be undetectable, that they're going to have something that looks like Mother Nature did it, not that it was contrived or thought of or designed by a hair guy, you know?
So after they're done, how many more visits do they come back to see you? Is there maintenance? Like, they come back and see you 90 days later?
Well, actually, we follow our patients very closely. Okay. Now, 50% of our patients come in from out of town.
Okay.
So the follow-up on out-of-town patients is done electronically through the phone or by email or photos or Skype.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our patients who come in from out of town, come back from out of town to make sure that things are going along well, like at 6 months and 12 months and so forth. But if you're here locally, you're going to get extensive amount of follow-up treatment. So we're going to see you the very next day, and then we're going to see you in 2 weeks, you know, 10 to 14 days for the wound healing, and then 2 to 4 months, that's when the hair growth is going to get started, and you're going to see some action, about half of the growth in 6 months, and the full result in a year.
Wow, that is really entailed. So let's round up the show. We actually have got 5 more minutes, and we're going to go ahead and round up. So for our listeners to get more information about you and how to get a hold of you, can you give us your website and information?
Sure, of course. The best way to get in touch with us is through BaumanMedical.com. So it's B-A-U-M-A-N Medical, all one word, .com. And, of course, you can email me at drb@BaumanMedical.com.
Okay.
They can call the office, 561-394-0024.
And your Twitter?
At Dr. Alan Bauman. So Dr. Alan Bauman.
And you're on Facebook? Your Facebook page?
Yeah, just about every social platform you can find me. So Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn.
He's on Pinterest. Pinterest.
Yeah, Pinterest too. But the videos on YouTube are really the best. So I always encourage patients to go check out YouTube. Because they'll find the stories from Dateline NBC and when I was on the early show and the local stations here in South Florida, Good Morning America stories. All of those stories will be there, as well as some of the back end view of what's going on, like with the Men's Health magazine articles and things like that.
You have a lot of press. You have a lot of buzz, actually, online. Oh, nice. I did a Google search.
I bet you get a lot of celebrities in here.
Well, we do. Yeah, absolutely. Now, of course, I can only tell you about the ones that have gone public, like Kevin Nolte and Greg Benson and those guys, as well as some of our local celebrities, like Jim Abbott, who was ABC Anchorman.
Yeah.
So when you do your Google search on Anchorman hair transplant, you'll find Anchorman Jim out there. But we do have a lot of high-profile patients, and they get the VIP and private treatment, just like everybody else does, too.
Oh, fantastic. So, everybody, make sure you check him out, and I'm going to upload the show in a few minutes, and it'll be live again. And wasn't this...
It was awesome. Great to
We've been waiting to chat with you. You understand? It's been like a month and a half.
And we've been talking about it.
We've been talking about it.
It's been really anticipated.
It's great to have you guys here. I hope we can do it again soon. And
definitely. And please email me and let me know the one that's coming up that you're doing the live transplant.
Yeah, July 11th, 2012, we'll be doing our live hair transplant on Kevin Ralston from 95.5 Wild 95.
Awesome. Ooh. Okay, guys. Go ahead.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to do with wild hair?
Well, we make your hair pretty wild, but I don't have anything to do with the styling of it. But for our patients, we do send a lot upstairs to get those hairs cut. Because after you can't go out and have a hair transplant and then you go out with a comb over.
Okay, everybody, have a great day. Make sure you tune in tomorrow to Social Chats Finance with myself, Eris, and Harry. We'll be talking about what's going on in Wall Street and social media. Bye, guys.
Bye.